Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show.
Hello, my fantastic, wonderful, and super, super, super hot audience. Okay. It's Empress Gaia, aka Gaia Morissette, your hostess with your slutty mostess. All right, so we're in the dungeon this morning doing our recording. And so that's fun. If you're like, ooh, I've been dying to see Empress's dungeon, this will be a great opportunity to go watch the video of this episode, which you can find on FetLife under Empress Gaia, and you can also find it on my loyal fans page, Empress Gaia One. So you can see what's all behind me. I got, like, to just describe you. So I'm sitting in front of my cross. I got my kinky rubber chicken behind me, hanging from his neck from the cross. I got all sorts of implements behind me: floggers, whips, riding crops, canes, what else? Oh yeah, all sorts of other impact toys, rulers. I got, you know, my Christmas, some of my Christmas display of my slutty Xmas alien cocks and dildos on display beside me. Now on the other side of, beyond the other side, behind me, we got, you know, all of my chains that I chain everybody up with. It's nice. It's just like one wall, little taste of what the dungeon looks like. So yes, come watch. All right. So today I want to talk to you about falling in love with winter. And you're like, what? This is so out. But it's not. Because remember, my orgasmic life, living an orgasmic life, is about loving and embracing and finding pleasure everywhere at all times. So this year, I have fallen head over heels in love with winter. She's glorious. And if you're like, ugh, let me give you a backstory about how my relationship with winter, how me saying those words is like, anybody who knows me is like, what? Was Gaia abducted by aliens? What's going on? So I grew up in North Bay, between North Bay and Owen Sound and Thunder Bay. That's where I spent my childhood. So north, super north, semi-north. But all within the north. And Snowbelt. And so growing up, it was always cold. I was always cold. I hated winter. My internal thermostat never worked. I'm more like a cold-blooded reptile, that whatever the outside temperature is what my internal temperature is. So if it's cold outside, I'm going to be cold outside and it can't get warm. My body doesn't like create that internal thermostat that most people have. Like, you're cold, your body temperature regulates, and heats your body up. If you're hot, your body temperature cools down. Mine doesn't. It's like whatever externally is going on is what's happening for me. And so as a child, we didn't have good gear. I mean, you know, again, I'm 50. So, you know, when I was a kid, that was a really long time ago, before all this great technology of heated things was developed. So you basically would get all dressed up in layers and layers and layers. And you'd be like, you'd be in your snowmobile suit, which is like a onesie snowmobile suit. And you had like, you couldn't close your arms. You're basically waddled. You're all wrapped up. You could only see your eyes, and you know, you're basically covered head to toe. And I grew up in a family that really liked to be outside. And so, you know, winter came and we were tobogganing, skiing, hiking, snowmobiling, ice fishing. All were a nightmare for me. The only activity in winter that I enjoyed was cross country skiing, was because you're moving so much that you're sweating and you're, you know, you're somewhat warm until you stop and then you get really cold. All right. So growing up, I didn't like winter. And then I spent, you know, when I became a teenager, still didn't like winter. And when I became an adult, I started, you know, traveling during the winter time. So I didn't have to feel, you know, deal with winter. And all of it was this, like, because I was so cold, it was like, I couldn't get warm. There was nothing I could do to keep myself warm. There was nothing I could do to warm myself up. It was just like, I was just cold, so cold to like my bones and my fingertips and my toes. Like it was like they always felt like they were frostbitten and they were like ready to fall off. And so needless to say, that doesn't make for an enjoyable relationship with winter. So this year though, I decided, you know, I got, you know, the last two winters I got to hibernate a little bit. I didn't really have to go outside unless I, you know, absolutely had to. I didn't have a dog, so I wasn't forced to go outside during the winter. I kind of hibernated like a bear. This year, I have my beautiful, amazing adventure buddy, Muddy, with me, who loves winter and loves being outside. And, you know, I got Jess, my, you know, adventure buddy, who is like, you know, she's like, loves winter and loves being outside in the winter. And I have a bunch of other friends. It's actually quite funny. I have another friend who's like, so loves winter. She loves snow. She loves winter. And I was like, wow, she's like such a weirdo, So this year I was like, okay, you know what? It's time for me to figure out how to embrace winter, because embracing winter prevents me from going into one, not being outside, which is not good for my being or my soul. Two, it prevents me from like just being, basically, if you think about it, my hatred for winter prevented me from finding joy and pleasure every day. If every morning I woke up and I looked outside and I'm like, oh God, I hate what's outside. And oh my God, I hate it. I'm not going to go out there. And oh my God, I hate this. And all that does is bring me into a state of misery and suffering and stress. None of that is sexy. None of that supports a sexy version of me. None of that supports an orgasmic version of me. That just means that I'm like, was always in this constant state from basically the time it snowed until spring habit. That's a long time. That's a lot of the year to be in this misery state. So I was like, okay, this year, I'm gonna do something different. So first thing is I need good gear. So I went out and I got good gear. I got some great boots. I got some electric heated socks. I got an electric heated vest. I got, you know, some, you know, good hats. You know, I'm still working on figuring out the mitten situation. I think I'm going to have to, I got some like little heater packs that I can throw into my mittens, but it's kind of awkward when I'm trying to walk the dog and stuff. So I think I'm going to have to this week purchase some electric heated mittens or gloves or something that will work really well for my adventuring. I got these great, and I got this great jacket. It's like, it goes almost all the way down to, it goes almost all the way down to my ankles. And I'm like, you just zip me up. I've actually gone outside naked. That's how good this jacket is. I've been like walking the dog in the morning. Just my boots and my jacket and a hat. And I'm like toasty warm. And I'm like, ooh, I get to be in winter nudist. Like totally naked under my jacket. It's so good. And so, you know, again, my jacket is phenomenal. I love this jacket. Like half the time, it hasn't even been cold enough for me to put all my gear on. Even when it's been like minus 20, I'm like, oh, maybe I should turn on my electric things. But it's been amazing. So since then, I've spent so much time this winter outside with my dog and my friend and her dog. And we just kind of go walking in the forest. And then like, you know, oh, and I bought these pair of like rubber pants. I might have to go get a second pair of rubber pants just for the dungeon because they kind of turn me on, my rubber pants. One for frolicking, one for fucking. I'm going to get another pair. Anyways, so these rubber pants are awesome because like I can just, we don't have to worry about bringing blankets with us and all that kind of stuff. We can just find, this is a great snow pile. Let's just lay down it between my like rubber pants and my jacket. I'm like solid. And, you know, I'm basically laying in the forest and laying in snowbanks and really like dropping into like the surrender to winter and the insights of winter and the quiet and the stillness. Like there's something really beautiful about being in a snow-covered forest. Everything is super crisp and the sounds are crisp and the smells are crisp. And it's like, it's really, really, really gorgeous and beautiful. Who knew I would even, you know, say those words, never mind, like leave them in my soul. So the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was having a really rough day and a really rough night physically. You know, we're doing, as you heard in my last episode with the migraines and after, you know, induced lactation. And so I'm like with the doctor working on, you know, trying to find the right medication that will work for the migraines. And in the meantime, I'm doing a lot of vomiting. So migrating and vomiting. So a couple weeks ago, I was having a really rough go, up all night, puking, migraines. It was a nasty night. Nothing sexy about it. And the next morning, I was like, you know, because I'm a magical being, in case if you're like, what are you talking about? If you want to learn all about me being a high priestess of divine sexual magic and elemental magics and all the magical parts of my being and, you know, how I'm this really amazing, magical, pagan, slutty goddess, then go listen to all my episodes about different magics and different, my journey into, you know, indoctrination and into being high priestess and all the things. There's like lots of episodes that talk about magic, basically, as I usually title it, is magic of something, right? So anyways, so I asked the universe, because I am the universe's bitch, basically, at the end of the day, my job is to surrender. Everything works out perfectly when I just surrender to the universe. So I asked the universe, I'm like, hey, what do I need to feel better right now? And the universe is like, you need to go lay in a snowbank. And I was like, are you on fucking crack? Go fuck yourself. Yes, I talked to the universe like that. Beautiful thing is the universe gets me. And the universe very lovingly and very patiently said, you want to feel better, then that's what you got to go do. Go lay in the snowbank. So, you know, call up Jess and I'm like, hey, can you come lay in the snowbank with me? She's like, sure. So get all geared up. And, you know, I feel guilty about not taking Muddy with me to go lay in the snowbank, but I really needed to not worry about him being on a leash or, you know, him off leash or any of those things, because we're still working on trust, that piece. So anyway, so I'm like, So I took him over to the neighbors so that, because they have a fenced in yard and let, they love Muddy, and so they let him run around in there. So let him run around, and then me and Jess, well, off we went to the park, and there's this beautiful little hill, and there's like this, you know, segment of trees, and everybody's like, that's where you need to go lay down. And so off we trot through the very, very deep snow, and you know, and we just lay, and I just sat down and like laid down under this tree that was dripping, dripping tree. It was a snow slash wet slash rain day. Great for making snowballs and forts out of snow. That was that consistency of snow. So anyway, so laying there and the trees dripping on me, and I have to like cover my eyes with my toque, which is very Canadian, my toque, and you know, and just drop into listening to the dripping and being laying in the snow and just breathing and crying and laughing and just being still and being in the snow and being with winter and really realizing how powerful winter can be for emotional self-regulation and also just for self-reflection. The great, you know, that's basically wintertime is best time to do self-reflection, right? It's like there's not as much daylight, you know, here in Canada anyways, there's not as much daylight, so you have shorter time during the day, which gives you more time to not, you know, to like slow down in the evenings, and it just gives us this really beautiful opportunity to look within and see, okay, where am I? Am I where I want to be? Is this where I need to be? Is there anything I need to change about my life? Do I need to change my relationships? Do I need to, you know, build better relationships with, add relationships to my life? What's missing? What's, there's a great opportunity for us to like go within to see where we're at before we go into spring, where it's all this new rebirth. And so it's also a great opportunity, time of year, to plant seeds of that can be, you know, harvested later in the year. So like, you know, what do I want for my business, and what do I want for my life, and what do I want for my health? And so that idea that, you know, at New Year's, we kind of do this whole, we're supposed to do this whole, like in the beginning of the year, do this whole deep dive into who we are, what we are, where we're at, what we want to do. We make all these New Year's resolutions. We hold on to them for about 6 weeks, and then we go back to our old ways. So that concept kind of comes from this whole idea that this time of year, the winter time, is a possibility, go in and see what's going on. It's also a great time to do some healing, both emotionally, physically, psychologically, because again, we're not gallivanting as much, right? We do our job, we go to work, we come home, it's dark when we leave, it's dark when we get home. And so this is a big piece of like part of not having sunshine, and sometimes people suffer from depression deep time at this time of year because we haven't had any sunlight, and there's all these things. But it's also a great time to like be still and be quiet and to figure out and to take time to rest. So that's what basically what I was laying underneath the dripping tree and laying in a snowbank, had the insight from winter that this is perfect. And I felt wonderful. I helped me rejuvenate, helped me to open up some new possibilities, helped me to realize there were some shifts and changes I needed to make. And I'm excited. Like, you know, instead of when it snows, I'm like, oh dear God, there's more snow. I'm just like, ooh, there's snow. And I usually then turn around and talk to them. I'm like, ooh, we're going to have some good stuff to fall again. Let's go play in the snow. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that because, you know, I share a lot of stuff going on with me, but, you know, sometimes I don't always talk about some of these other aspects because they're not as sexy. But it's in those other aspects that would allow me to truly be sexy, to feel sexy, to be orgasmic, to be a big, 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 super big, sexy slut. Like it allows me to truly do those things because I take the time to listen and to heal and to do what I need to do to take care of me on all levels, physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually. I do all of those pieces. And so sharing some of those pieces with you is an important part of the process. You can't just see me horny all the time. Now, I won't lie. While I was laying in the snowbank and I was getting dripped on, it was kind of hot. I was like, whoa, drippy, drippy. Or maybe if I position myself, I can get the drips to hit the right spot on my body. But, you know, it was good. It was good. And, you know, as we were laying there, me and Jess laying there in the snowbank, we were sharing, you know, different experiences with each other, and some of them about sex and some of them about childhood. And so, like, we're just sharing. And so in that, you know, we were sharing with each other and being still and quiet at times. And it was just beautiful. And I look forward to going and laying in another snowbank. Sometime this week, I'm sure I will find a snowbank and lay down in it and just be still. And I'm excited to see what that does for me, both physically and emotionally. This year, embracing winter and how that this will change how orgasmic I am, and how will that change how I move in the world if I'm not in this constant state of distress and anger and hatred of my environment. So I'm curious. I'm curious. I've already noticed some shifts and changes. My, you know, norm potentially going through what I've been going through, the whole migraines and the vomiting and all that kind of shit. And then having to take pause from inducing lactation and things. I think in the past, I probably would have dropped me into a pretty dark hole for a little while. It would have taken me a while to, like, all right, shake it off, girl. You got this. Do things. You find the joy and the happiness and do, you know. But this time it didn't drop, it hasn't dropped me in. Like, I haven't dropped in. You know, like the closest I came to dropping in was like in that morning. And then the universe told me to go lay in the snowbank. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to lay in the snowbank. And then things were like, oh, okay, everything's fine. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, how much more bandwidth possibilities when I'm not in a constant state of hating my external environment. And I think this is, so, you know, here's the teachable moment. First of all, if you're going to enjoy winter, if you don't like winter, first thing is you must go invest the money to go get good gear. That's like number one. Like, spend the money in the electric clothing, electric heated, whatever you need to do so that you can be warm while you're outside. Number one, okay? Number two is that instead of being angry at winter, what if you could allow yourself to see winter as a being, and, you know, find ways to find the beauty and the joy, and the gifts that she has, right? So, for example, if you happen to be the person in the household that has to shovel snow, this is a great opportunity for you to get strong, right? So as you're shoveling all that snow, it's a great opportunity to be physically fit and getting your exercise in, which is going to help your body, which is going to help your orgasms and your pleasure and your sexuality and all these things. So you could see, instead of being like, oh, fuck, I got to go shovel the driveway, I could be like, oh, right on, I get to go do my workout now, right? You know, it's, you have to move differently with winter. And I think that's the other part of it, like your gear. Make sure you have good gear. make sure that, you know, if you have to shovel, that you have good quality, you know, you have a good quality shovel. Look at it as an opportunity for you to heal your body, you know, get stronger and work out and be outside. You know, if it's the whole, like it's dark in the morning and it's dark at night when, and you never get to see the sun, then take the opportunity at your lunchtime to go outside and, you know, get some gear, bring your gear to work, go sit outside and find a snowbank at your lunch and go sit in it. Make some snow angels, have some fun with it, and then go back inside so that you can still get your sunshine. You know, I think it's also, you know, there's certain lights you can get and stuff so that you can UV, and, you know, there's different things you can support your system when, because we don't have a lot of sun, we, you know, get your vitamin D up, like all these things you can do. But I think this applies to not just how do we change our perception of our external environment, whether that's winter or that's your work environment or your relationships or your household. There's certain things that you can do to change the narrative, but the big part of it is what is our perception of it? How do we perceive this, and how can we find different ways to perceive this interaction, this experience? Because when you are in a state of anger, really, and annoyance and frustration with your external environment around you all the time, it does affect you on an internal level, both physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually. It affects who you are. And you're spending a lot of time just trying not to, you know, stab people in the face. So if you can take some of the things I was talking about in this episode and start to, okay, well, how can I adapt that? What part of my life, what part of my external life do I have no control over? Meaning like I can't change it, but I can change how I perceive it, and I can change how I interact with it, and I can change what support I need in it, and see if that creates a better environment, an ecosystem environment for your whole ecosystem that is you, that opens you up to more joy, more contentment, more pleasure, more inner peace, more pleasure, more orgasms, more laughter, all the things, more of those things, instead of just being survival mode. Okay. All right. That's my takeaway. Mwah. Stay warm, stay curious, and go frolic. Every day is a good day to frolic. All you have to do is make sure that you have the right gear for your frolicking adventures. That's actually a really good life lesson. Actually, now I think about it, if you want to become a great frolicker, you must always have the right gear. That makes it a difference between a near-death experience and a frolic adventure. Okay, so, all right, till next time. Bye-bye. Uh-oh. I'm gonna have to go over here. Oh, my thing died.
Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know. Because I'm a little bit of a voyeur, so I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners. Until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.